a bill from the Gaming Commission under the Shared Services Agreement for $74,000 for our share of the expenses for various items that we use the Gaming Commission for.
And that's for 3 years?
For a three-year period from 2014 to 2017. January 1, 2014 through December 13th, 2017.
March
31st, I'm sorry. It's due December 13th, 2017. The bill has been distributed to all members of the fund board, and I would ask a motion to approve the payment of the $74,051.41. Motion? Motion by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Canezo. All those in favor?
Aye.
The payment is approved.
Should the minutes reflect that the commissioners recused themselves? Do you feel it's necessary to recuse yourself?
I don't think it's necessary to recuse myself. Do you?
No, but if
it doesn't matter. I just wanted to say I don't know if you.
I think the statute requires the commission members to be members of this board, and that's part of our responsibility. Okay.
I can recuse myself,
because
the 74 goes to 80.
Yeah.
I got no problem with that.
We can bring the readers' voice to the full extent of the urge.
Okay. Next, at our last meeting of the year, we usually discuss the statutory maximum. Jill? Could you fill us in on that?
And I can do it. Every year at this meeting, this is the time when the board approves the payment to the maximum, the Breeders' Award, such that we have, within the maximum of 65%, that Breeders' Fund or Breeders' Awards can be paid to the maximum extent earned.
And you were talking about the surplus?
Yes.
And that those are related, right?
No.
Totally different. Okay.
Nope.
So we'll take the first one.
So the way the statute works is that Breeders Awards are set at 43%, except that the board by a 2/3 vote can increase that allotment to 50% of total revenue. If it does so by 2/3 vote, but it does. It's not a standing thing. It happens year by year.
Gotcha. So we'll look.
It's 65%. Jeff gets that raise.
Sorry, 65.
Every year, right?
We'll look at the wrong.
Yeah, sorry.
We'll look for a motion to increase it to the maximum amount allowed by law.
I make the motion.
Motion by Member Canizzo, second by Mr. Birch. All those in favor?
Aye.
It's approved. And another item of new business is the...
Did we do first breeders, stallions, and owners, or just breeders?
Just breeders.
Just breeders.
We're never close to the maximum on owners or stallions.
My apologies.
The surplus issue.
Yes. Right now, we still have 2 months that we don't have final numbers for, but we're anticipating a small surplus. So we'd like the board's recommendation on if they feel that should be something that could be used for an additional purse enrichment, or if we want to try to allocate it to awards somehow. I think it'll be a pretty minor amount. And in the past, we've done a purse enrichment in that case when it's a smaller dollar amount.
So. Do you pay what that goes to a purse enrichment? Can we dedicate a special race for New York Stallions?
It's a 2016, a 2017 distribution on our end. I would imagine, though, that we still have the flexibility if we want to. I don't know how much money it will be, if it will be substantial enough to require a restriction on it, but I think that I don't see why we wouldn't be able to. Kyle, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, we're not going to know what it is until February.
January, probably mid-January.
So once we know what it is, I don't know that that lends itself to what you're suggesting, huh?
No, we don't know.
And I have a question too. Is it possible that we can be decided at the meeting in March what it goes for? Because we didn't give have very much money this year to give to aftercare.
No, it wouldn't be able to. I mean, it would have to be at the end of the year. We would have to say we want it to go into purse enrichment. It wouldn't need to be distributed until the following year. So I think the terms could be made in 2017, and we could not pay it out until March of 2017. However, it's still, Tom, sorry, 2018. But to go back to the aftercare, but because it is 2017 money, we couldn't use it for that.
Right. What's your best guess at how much it would be?
About $100,000 is my best guess.
I'm going to make a motion, well, I don't call it a motion, I'll make a recommendation that given the circumstances surrounding the purse enrichment dialogue, we've had an entire meeting, Finger Lakes Racetrack, the fact that based on this dollar amount being not substantial enough to merit an increase in awards because you're talking pennies to people. Mm-hmm. It would cost more to actually mail it, the checks. I think that it makes the most sense for this money to be used in purse enrichment. And my recommendation is we use this purse enrichment directly to NIRA. Such that the terms can be designated by this fund on exactly what races or how it's to be used.
Anybody have a problem with that? You want to put that in the form of a motion, Jeff?
Okay.
Second?
Second.
Second by Senator Nolan. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's approved.
Three
of them. On behalf of Bill.
Yes, Tracy had something to say about the SWAG fund on behalf of Dr. Wilmot.
Yeah, he wanted me to let you know that the SWAG fund and the people at Cornell are extremely grateful for the money we give them every year. The 2017 amount will be about $40,000 less than the 2016 amount because of the revenue we had. Of course, we give them 2% of all our revenue. Among the most interesting studies that is receiving $95,000 is to look into a better way to work with roarers, you know, horses that have a laryngeal problem and have trouble breathing. It turns out that what causes that is there's a slow nerve travels and it's not telling the throat to open and close as quickly as it should. The traditional treatment right now is a tie back. What they're hoping that they've isolated this immune gene called a microphage and that can make it possible to regenerate the proper nerve structure such that you don't need to do a tie back and that the throat will open and close again. I'm sure Bill is more familiar with some of these other items, but I just wanted to convey on his behalf the gratitude that he is experiencing from Cornell's WIG Fund for the good work that they are able to do because of the money we give them.
And that's capped at 2%, so there's no ability to put any kind of surplus towards additional research.
No, it's statutorily 2%. It's not even cash. It's straight 2%.
Yeah. Yeah.
From both funds. Hard to say.
Is there any other new business? Joe?
This fall we had a situation which arose where there was a breeder who sold a horse. The horse went to the...
We gave it away.
Gave it away. Yeah. The horse went to the slaughter pens and we got message back from that we were going to be exposed as not doing enough for
aftercare.
Aftercare. Yep. It's not an unusual thing. We got one yesterday. We got an email from somebody yesterday accusing, you know, making an accusation like that. We need a policy for how to deal with these things. I mean, these things are coming up all the time, and I think the fund needs a policy which states where they are on these things or how we deal with situations when these arise. I got no answers. I just want to bring it to everybody's attention that we've been targeted on different occasions like that. So
can you write something up for us for the next meeting?
Sure.
So we can become familiar with the issue. I have no idea what this is about. So if you could just familiarize us with the issue and put it on the agenda for, yeah, the, for the next meeting.
It's, there's like a cottage industry of trying to find New York breads in pens where they could be sold to a killer. And sometimes a so-called kill buyer will buy it, but they'll keep it in a holding place and say, well, if you can come with X amount of dollars, you can get the horse.
Extortion.
Well, it's the beginning of the spending of money. Because after you pay that to get the horse, you then have to send it to quarantine for 2 weeks, which you have to pay a shipper for. Then you have to vet a vet go over and find out what's wrong with it. And sometimes the vet will find, you know, the knee is shattered, it can't possibly even be a pasture pet, and it has to be put down. And it's very costly for the aftercare organizations to help the fund from getting a black eye from these. And sometimes you call, I mean, I've called people and said, you know, you bred this horse 18 years ago, can you help? And the guy will say, I'm sorry, I've got cancer, I can't. Another guy will say, oh, I sold my farm and, you know, can't possibly do anything. And others just feel that it's been in so many other hands since they first bred it 20 years ago or 15 years ago that they don't, are no longer responsible for it. So it is a
huge
issue.
How are we contributing to that?
We contribute, well, we contribute to aftercare organizations in New York State. They are approved by the agency or the organization, Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, that looks not only at the physical property of a 501c3 charity. It must be a 501c3 charity organization. They look at the books, make sure that it's a properly run foundation. They look at the property itself. Are the fences good? Do they have stalls? Do they properly feeding the horses? So that's how we try to help as a solution.
Ask a question.
Yeah.
The monies that the fund gives to the aftercare mm-hmm. program, do we know that these are going to farms in that are New York State based? And these, then is there any way to incentivize the New York State based farms to accept New York bred horses? In other words, there's a lot of horses out there that are
the fund created a policy.
So that yes,
the
we give the money, but we want to see that
that's exactly
New York horse is coming back to New York soil.
That's exactly what the fund did when we started it. Mm-hmm. When was this? Four years ago?
2011, second year.
So the fund has a policy that it can only go to New York State farms.
It has to be.
But are those farms only taking New York bred? They're not only taking New York bred horses.
That is true. Some of them also take horses that have raced in New York State.
Right.
Well, anyway, it's a big topic, but
it is a huge topic.
So theoretically, could we put a condition on that money that if they do what Joe said they do, mm-hmm. they would lose their funding?
I'm not saying it's the right thing to do.
I'm just saying, theoretically, could we do it?
It's not the aftercare places that are doing
it. Yeah, that's not the problem.
It's people who want to shut down racing entirely.
Right. So then we don't contribute to that problem.
No, we don't. That, I wanted to answer your question from earlier.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I thought you meant the solution.
You mean problem.
You meant how we contribute.
How we are adding to the problem.
We're not.
So we're not going to get any criticism because we don't do anything about it.
This program makes it possible for farms to exist and take care of thousands and thousands of animals.
There'd be a lot more of them if it
wasn't. The people that Joe has been, or anyone else who's been approached by, are very zealous people. Or they come and ask you for money, you know, or they're going to have this horse killed. We've all got those phone calls. It's terrible.
Right.
I understand that the Farm Bureau may be pushing a piece of legislation that would allow a farm to take a $5,000 a year write-off if it took in an off-track thoroughbred. So I heard that from Dave Cummings, who's not going to be so, who's on the Farm Bureau, but he told me that was a piece of legislation that he was trying to get them to be behind. And
I haven't seen it. I'll have to look out for that.
Okay, is there any other new business? Under old business, we have anything else from the aftercare committee? Do you have any other proposals? You're still working on funding?
Well, one of our problems is there's a horse like in jeopardy, and I don't really have the wherewithal. There's nothing in statute that says I can take $1,000 and save a horse from rescue in order to defend our reputation. I think we took a step a few years ago when we changed our mission statement to include that we are promoting the responsible breeding of quality thoroughbreds. I mean, responsible means you're breeding a horse of sufficient quality that it's going to find a buyer. Now, but they go to the track and they're not all successful. And sometimes they will then be transitioned, they'll become a show horse or a trail horse or a polo pony. And after that, you know, sometimes owners that are, you know, not even thoroughbred racetrack owners will sell the horse that ends up in a potential kill sale. People can check the number on the lip, the tattoo, and then trace it back to the breeder. So apparently they find it easier to try to come back to the breeder many, many years later and try to ask them to spring the horse. And they also usually threaten to publicly expose them. It's not in our mission statement.
I mean, last time we created a subcommittee, if you recall, to look at the aftercare issue because we felt that we have more authority than we thought we did.
Right.
And to come up with some recommendations as to what we could do to fund some aftercare programs.
We do fund a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we fund the aftercare.
Yeah.
Okay. Tracy, could you prepare a list of proposed dates for next year's meeting?
I will do.
And distribute that to everyone.
Can I ask, first of all, does anybody have dates or weeks of months that they know they will not want to be used?
Yeah, I can give you mine. I don't have them now.
2 weeks of July, I'm in Iceland.
When?
First 2 weeks of July, I'm not here.
Okay.
Then we can have the meeting in Iceland.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, we'll come.
Bring a sweater.
Yeah,
me for tickets. All right, I got to ask everybody, you know, first you can give me the weeks you definitely don't want used, and then I'll go look at our traditional dates, where we meet usually that's like late March.
Good. Thank you. Any other old business? And take a motion to adjourn.
Great.
Moved by Member McMahon, seconded by Mr. Graciano. We are adjourned. How was that, John?
Perfect. Brilliant. Well done. Brilliant.
See, your brother had a horse in the sixth grade.